for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Dr. Herbert Benson of Harvard Medical School first wrote about the body's power to heal itself 35 years ago. Now, in his latest book, he describes the scientific advances in mind-body medicine that have led him to conclude we each have the power to repair our bodies, even at the genetic level. He advocates using relaxation and visualization techniques to reduce stress, minimize pain, and treat a variety of health conditions. His new book is titled Relaxation Revolution, and Dr. Benson joins me in the studio. We will take as many of your calls as we can. Join us on 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Join us on Facebook or send us a tweet. Dr. Benson, how good to see you again.
Nice to see you again, Diane.
You and I have done several of these programs, and I must say, I recall that your book, The Relaxation Response, first came out 35 years ago. What have you learned? What has changed in your thinking since that time?
The power of mind, the power of mind-body medicine has become more manifest. In other words, scientific proof.
Have some water there.
There we go.
Okay,
in other words,
good.
Scientific proof has now established that this mind-body reaction can actually change your genes' activity. Our genes are turned on and turned off. And recently, work done at the Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School has shown us that you can turn on genes' activity in a fashion that are exactly opposite to the fashion that stress turns them on. In other words, when you evoke the relaxation response, genes that control stress, genes that control inflammation, genes that control the aging of cells are made more positive. In other words, they counteract what would normally occur with stress.
But surely you're not talking about stopping the aging process or reversing the aging process. What you are talking about is the reduction of stress, which makes the aging process a healthier one.
What we're talking about is not changing stress, but changing the effects of stress on the body. Think of the relaxation response as a way of bolstering yourself against stress. In other words, you're not going to change the stresses. You're not going to change the problems with your family. You're not going to change your monetary problems, the terrorism, what have you. But what you can change is your overall way of dealing with that at a level that goes right down to your genes' activity.
I think it's important to talk about what you believe, what kinds of illnesses, what kinds of problems can be treated, approached by the relaxation response.
Our medicine today is perhaps the best that's ever been evolved. There are fantastic pharmaceutical drug approaches. There are fantastic surgical approaches. With cataracts, the blind can see again. If you have an infection, if you have pneumonia, that can be cured more often than not with antibiotics. These are phenomenal advances. But 60 to 90% of visits to docs for disorders that include anxiety, mild and moderate depression, high blood pressure, insomnia, virtually all forms of pain, if not caused, are often made worse by stress. And to the extent that any disorder is caused or made worse by stress, to that extent, we can effectively treat it. If one hears the words from a health professional, "I'm sorry, you have breast cancer," in her mind, she's Jane Doe, breast cancer patient. And frequently the symptomatology is not from the cancer itself, but for having a cancer. That's the kind of thing we can effectively treat. Or take something like tension headache, which is due to stress. That's virtually 100% curable by these approaches. In hypertension, you might have a kidney problem. To that extent, the hypertension is not caused by that. It is not, will not respond to these approaches, but many, many elements of hypertension are due to stress.
One of the disorders you list in the book is Parkinson's disease.
There is fascinating evidence that in the short term, when a person has Parkinson's disease and they believe they're taking a medication that will supply the L-DOPA, which is deficient in Parkinson's disease, even though it's a fake pill, a sugar pill, you actually increase the levels of dopamine. And sophisticated studies have shown that the areas of the brain that produce the dopamine become more active. In other words, here it's your belief bringing about the changes in the dopamine and the symptomatology of Parkinson's disease. What has to be done and have not been done are long-term studies of this effect. But the fact that the mind can affect the body to the extent of actually changing the secretion of certain brain cells in a disease where the secretion is decreased is a very powerful example of how powerful these mind-body effects are.
Dr. Herbert Benson, his book, The Relaxation Response, was a number one bestseller. His new book is titled Relaxation Revolution, Enhancing Your Personal Health Through the Science and Genetics of Mind-Body Healing. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Dr. Benson, you had an aha moment with this whole approach to mind-body healing and the relaxation response. Talk about that.
Over close to 40 years ago, we were studying monkeys to see whether or not there was a stress component. And we were able to establish that the mind could affect high blood pressure. Young people came to me and said, "Why are you fooling around with monkeys? Study us. We think we can effectively lower our blood pressure. We practice transcendental meditation." And at the time, stress was did not conform to routine medical thinking. And to think about meditation then was simply off the radar. But these were days before human studies committees, so I was able to quietly investigate what happened when a person practiced meditation, transcendental meditation. And we found changes exactly opposite to the stress response, which had been discovered 60 years before in the very room I was studying the meditators at Harvard Medical School. That was work by Walter B. Cannon. And in that moment, I saw, by gosh, the body has an opposite response, opposite to the stress response, and we chose to call it the relaxation response.
How does the relaxation response then differ from ordinary transcendental meditation?
There are scores of techniques that evoke the relaxation response. Transcendental meditation is a wonderful one, but simply one. But yoga, tai chi, other forms of meditation, mindfulness meditation, mantra meditation, repetitive prayer, all evoke the same response. And when we first looked into that, to me it was scary because here I was a physician seeing that religious traditions throughout the world had been doing this for millennia by having a repetition. Sure, the repetition would be different. One, it would be Hail Mary, full of grace, another Om Mani Padme Hum, another Inshallah Allah. But it didn't matter. The steps were basically the same. And then we saw that people for millennia have been bringing forth this response that counteracts the harmful effects of stress.
Why is stress so harmful?
Stress evokes this opposite response called the fight or flight response. You secrete epinephrine, adrenaline, norepinephrine, noradrenaline, which revs you up. You have increased metabolism, increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, increased rate of breathing, specific brainwave changes. But you don't run and you don't fight. If you're having a problem that's bothering you, you don't lash out and hit a child or worry about the person who's asking you to pay the bill. But you still have this internal reaction going on, and without running and without fighting, what these do is then they act upon your body to cause or make worse these host of different diseases.
Herbert Benson, his new book is titled Relaxation Revolution. And welcome back. If you've just joined us, one of my favorite guests of all time is here, Dr. Herbert Benson. He's the best-selling author of The Relaxation Response. He's written a new book titled Relaxation Revolution, in which he talks about the effects of meditation and the relaxation response on the actual genetic response within our bodies. Just before the break, Dr. Benson, you were talking about how stress harms a person, and you were talking about the fact that we stand there while our bodies sort of tense up and the blood begins to flow with greater pressure because we're not running. It's not a flight situation. How can stress then become a major factor in pain?
When you have a pain, you often worry about that pain. What if situations? What if this is serious? And the more you worry about it, the more you evoke the fight or flight response, and the body puts forth the adrenaline into your bloodstream. That lowers the threshold of pain. The pain gets worse, and you have a vicious cycle. Now, there are many people who have had pain for years, and you often get wired for the pain where the initial cause of the pain is gone, but you're still there because the brain has its configuration changed. Think of the example of phantom limb. A person has a very painful left hand for years. Then due to an accident or surgery, he or she loses the hand. He or she still has hand pain because it's wired in the brain. It's the memory of pain that's lasting. And to the extent that any memory of a pain is causative of the pain in the long term, to that extent, you can decondition and unhook that memory by using the relaxation response and visualization, because it opens the brain as the brain becomes more flexible, more adaptable, and you can change this established wiring. And it's not just pain. So many of us are suffering from disorders that we believe are part of us and that only drugs and surgery can work. Well, we have within us an innate, inborn, natural mechanism to loosen up these connections and reform them so that the given condition, to the extent that stress and the memory is making it worse, we can reverse it by remembering wellness.
Remembering wellness. Now, help me to understand what you mean by that. If an individual, for example, has premature aging, I mean, if an individual is becoming bowed, losing mobility, how does remembering wellness fit in there?
If your thoughts are making the bowing, the stooping worse, what you then can do is evoke the relaxation response, which literally gets rid of a lot of static noise, makes the brain much more fertile to change, and remember what it was like to be walking straight. And to the extent that your own mind is causing the issue, to that extent, you can change it.
To the extent that your mind is causing it. And that's a pretty big qualifier, because you may, in fact, have serious stenosis. You may have all kinds of problems with your
head. Absolutely, Diane. You see, that's why our traditional medicine, our traditional surgeries, are so important. It isn't all mind-body, but you have to look at it as a balance. A wellness should be one leg of drugs, one leg of surgeries, another leg of self-care. And mind-body is a critical element of self-care.
You write about a patient named Caroline. Tell us about her.
Caroline was a tennis player and had a squash player and had an injury, which resulted in back pain, and the back pain was getting progressively worse. Several surgeries later, Whoa. She was still worse, and 25 years later, she was essentially bedridden. She learned to evoke the relaxation response using a technique that conformed to her own belief system, then visualized herself being able to do different things, being able to play a musical instrument, and soon she started to get better. She got out of bed, was able to go along and live a reasonably normal life with just 2 to 3 hours of bed rest during the day, where it was previously many hours. We can't speak of absolute cures. It depends upon the given condition. Some are curable. But why not take advantage of what you already have within you that is drugless, that is surgeryless, to make your condition work better and then work as a cohesive package of wellness to bring this about. And that's why we title the book Relaxation Revolution, because we think there should be a revolution in medicine where people take more care of themselves and not being so totally dependent on the marvelous drugs and surgeries.
So what you're saying is that this approach should be used along with everything else that's offered.
Absolutely, without question. It would be inappropriate and foolish not to take it. My life was saved by when I collapsed a lung due to fall, and I was soon the pressure on one side of my chest would have been transferred to the other, and without a tube being put in my chest, I would be dead. That saved my life. No amount of mind-body medicine could do that. No amount of mind-body medicine will help a diabetic patient who is insulin dependent. But they can work together, because so often even diabetes is made worse by stress. So to the extent that the component is stress, it'll work together with the insulin and what have you.
If you'll put on those headphones, we'll approach some of our many callers. 800-433-8850. Let's go first to John, who's in San Antonio, Texas. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Sure.
Like everybody else, we love it.
Thanks.
I just had a comment that I've always been a very positive thinking person, and I was very healthy, athletic type of individual. A few years ago, about 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with a head and neck cancer. And I had a dual modality treatment. I had chemotherapy and radiation of the mouth area. And I wound up losing my taste entirely. And, of course, I lost a lot of weight, too. I lost about 80 pounds, and I was fairly healthy to begin with. So mostly it was muscle mass, and I just became very skinny. And as I was going through my recovery process, I was recalling sitting on the couch and just very positively projecting ahead on how I was going to get my weight back and how I was going to look in the, you know, coming 3 to 5 month period. And I also kept thinking about tasting food again, because it really went down to zero. And little by little, started improving. And then I went did a follow-up visit to see my radiation therapist. And I gave him a big hug one day, and I said, gee, doctor, thank you so much for doing such a great job with radiation. My taste is coming back, and it's a marvelous thing. And I said, thank you. And he says, well, wait a minute. He goes, by the way, my taste came back just like you said it would. And he says, wait a minute, I never said it would. And I said, I thought you did. He goes, no. He says, usually it doesn't. So I've often wondered if mine's back 100% now, which is amazing. I've often wondered, was it just the positive thinking that I was going through wanting that taste to come back that physiologically changed my body?
Yes, that is exactly what we write about in Relaxation Revolution. In other words, your belief system was so powerful that you remembered wellness. You remembered the ability to taste again. And what you went on and do is you we hypothesize what you've done is tapped into your remaining taste buds and hook them up again.
That's what
we're talking about. Look at the power, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing this, because others have the power to act. We all have the power to use these natural approaches to change our genes' activity to reawaken our brain's memories of wellness. How are you doing now? You feeling better?
Oh, I'm people look at me, you'd have no idea what I went through. And not only that, but I lost 80 pounds of muscle tissue, but I regained almost all of it.
Huh.
And my body has almost gone back to the same form, but almost better.
Good for you, John.
Wonderful. That's exactly what we're speaking to.
So glad you called. Let's go to Syracuse, New York. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Diane.
Go right ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, my situation, I'm sort of listening to you as I'm trying to match it to my situation. So I'm fitting in the last words he had into my ear. It sounds like you're talking about states of being where there's constant pain, but not like speedy events, like roadside bomb type events, things that constantly occur that are completely unexpected and you don't know where you'll find them. So this is what I think a lot of people go through, not so much in sickness, but in where you have adverse situations that involve true and false, right and wrong, court matters, things of that nature with large corporations or federal government agencies. I've been in those types of situations. I got no money, can't afford a lawyer, so I have to do things pro se. And I'm some of the things that come at me are, I've been told, for instance, by a personnel officer in a federal agency, that he says, I am your worst nightmare. I've had a series of flat tires. I don't know when they'll occur. They'll occur when I'm doing significant actions. You know, some of the things I say make me sound paranoid. But I got you know, bills that'll show a flat tire.
Roger, it does seem to me that practicing some form of medication might help.
Yes, to evoke the relaxation response will help. And just to hone this, the genes that change in post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD, those genes are changing in the exactly opposite fashion when you evoke the relaxation response.
And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Now to Miami, Florida. Good morning, Marie.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I love this show.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thank you. I'm a lung stage 4 cancer survivor, and I don't use the term terminal ever. I don't want to hear it around me. And that's because of the positive mindset. I really think that self-prophecy is a very important thing. And I've outlived what my prognosis is 4 times already in length of time. And it's because I always have my mindset that the normal curve of statistics, there's always the 99.9% to the right, and that's where I'm going to be. I really think it's important. But I'd like to tie in the aspect of your two programs because they're so together to me, actually. The term palliative care, I really think it should be integrated care. And for patients with chronic disease, they should have the availability of both body care and mindset care and spirit care. These three things to me really are very important.
I think they do absolutely go together well, Dr. Benson.
Indeed, and it makes the point very well how the relaxation response and visualization should be integrated with traditional medicine. And one aspect of that is palliative care. So we agree with what you're saying.
All right, to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Good morning, Camille.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I believe the doctor completely because I have seen in my own experience people turn relatively mild temporary conditions into a host of chronic progressive diseases because their attitude was so poor about the whole experience.
Exactly. In other words, you can use a mindset. And there used to be a pejorative statement in medicine, don't worry, it's all in your head, which was a way of saying, it really isn't real. Well, now we're showing that the mind can actually change your genes' activity. And that does away completely with the type of statement that the mind is not important. And your point that the mind negativity could influence negatively as the mind can change things positively is right on target. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Camille. Dr. Benson, before the break, tell us how this approach to meditation is done, how you do it.
One should use a two-step process we call phase one and phase two. Phase one is evoking the relaxation response, and there are many ways of doing this. And importantly, it should be done for 10 to 20 minutes once or twice a day to have the effects. Then your mind is more open. You bring forth all of these genetic alterations of the of your genes' activity, but also your brain is quieter. There's less static, less noise, more receptive.
So you're sitting quietly. You have your eyes closed.
and you have repeated a word or sound or prayer or phrase, when other thoughts came to mind, you simply said, oh, well, and came back to the repetition. That was done for 10 or so minutes. Your mind is more quiet now, more receptive. At that point, you visualize a time in your life when what was bothering you was not present. For example, when you were without the pain, when you were without the worries you have, and you tap in to remembered wellness. And then your brain will rewire itself. And this is the whole basis of what people had called the placebo effect.
Herbert Benson, and his new book is titled Relaxation Revolution. Short break and then more of your comments. Stay with us.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by Vicki and Roger Sant and Island Press, which offers solutions to environmental problems in print, in person, and online at islandpress.org. By the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.
On the next Fresh Air, Matt Richtel of The New York Times describes how digital technology is changing our lives and our brains. He says after 20 years of glorifying it, researchers are beginning to understand that this technology has its downside.
When you're constantly interrupted by email, you are experiencing stress. Stress equals stress hormones. Stress hormones take their toll on the brain.
Join us.
My guest is Dr. Herbert Benson. He's the author of the number one bestseller, The Relaxation Response. Now he's come out with Relaxation Revolution, enhancing your personal health through the science and genetics of mind-body healing. Here's an email from Tony in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who says, my daughter was just diagnosed with Crohn's disease, for which there is no cure. Do you think she might benefit from your idea of reducing stress to promote self-healing and keep the Crohn's at bay?
Yes, we have recently had conferences with parents of patients with Crohn's disease and the children themselves. And we are undergoing tests. We will soon start our studies of whether or not this approach, relaxation response, will be useful in Crohn's. One of the things driving this research is the fact that the genetic changes with the relaxation response in normals show decreased inflammation. Can this, in turn, be transferred to Crohn's? We will be studying this, and our preliminary results certainly warrant more study.
Interesting. Here's an email from Carrie in Richardson, Texas, who says, I memorize poems and recite them in my head when I feel stressed, which helps me. However, I haven't always felt in control of stress. Am I doomed to illness because of previous years of stress? Are we now going to blame people with illnesses if they don't have a positive attitude?
Oh, I think not. There are some reasons where conditions are such that the stress won't be changed. To that extent, you can protect yourself against the harmful effects of stress by evoking the relaxation response, which in essence is to break the train of everyday thinking. And your recitation of poems is a beautiful way to do this. But as we point out, to get the full benefits of this, they have to be done on a daily basis. To get the genetic type of expression changes, this must be done regularly.
And you can't expect a change overnight, surely.
Oh, can't, I'm sorry.
You cannot expect an overnight change.
Oh, no. But it should be a way of life where you should bring this forth as regularly, the relaxation response, as brushing your teeth. And there's another component to that. First of all, you'll never leave your home without brushing your teeth. But you don't say it was a good brush or a bad brush. You simply brush your teeth.
It should be
a habit, a routinely habit. But I feel it's going a bit too far to blame people who don't do so. I mean, that's their choice. But at least be aware of the fact that we have this innate capacity within us.
To Birmingham, Alabama. Good morning, Sybil. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for letting me speak to you. This is my question and concern. Love my husband dearly, but he's a very pessimistic person. And I see the same personality traits in my daughter. And it concerns me. My husband's 42 and has been on high blood pressure medicine for the last 4 or 5 years. And I think that part of it is his inability to handle, you know, the day-to-day stress and that negative attitude kind of affecting his physical condition. And how do I or can this help, you know, break that genetic coding that I really think that positive outlook versus negative outlook is kind of genetic?
Well, that's a very good point. There are scores of ways to evoke the relaxation response. One is repetitive prayer. If a person is of religious inclination, you can have them have a repetitive prayer. It could be Hail Mary, full of grace. It could be Lord is my shepherd. It could be Jesus is Lord. In other words, choose something that they would regularly do and have them do it on a regular basis. And simply, they will feel better by doing so. And that feeling better often changes the way a person looks at his or her life.
Of course, if you're dealing with a pessimistic person to begin with, even to get that person to that first stage can be difficult, Dr. Benson.
Absolutely. And we are all individuals, and we can't be forced really to do very many things. But frequently, one's performance and one's efficiency increases when stress is out of the way. And men generally, if one can generalize, are so concerned about performance and efficiency, that's why athletes bring forth the relaxation response and then visualize their perfect event. That can be turned into a life situation type of circumstance.
Here's an email from Ryan in Detroit. He says, how can one who has been in chronic pain for several years relearn what it is like not to be in pain? I am 24 years old, and I can't remember what it's like not to be in pain.
What one can do, and this is obviously a difficult situation because pain is overwhelming, and many of us who have experienced pain have gone through this. It's very difficult. If you can't remember not being in pain, simply remember an incident that didn't deal with pain from a previous time that you were, that a previous experience that you had had. Evoke the relaxation response is what we would suggest to such a patient. And then remember what it was to be a child playing with a ball or what have you. Go back to a time when the pain wasn't there and remember an event without the pain.
What about imagining an event without pain? Imagining yourself walking, playing, running without pain.
One can do that, Diane, but that's tougher to do.
Really?
Because it's not a real, you're not wired for that yet.
I see.
So you want to go back to a memory that where you can actually remember wellness.
That's very interesting. All right, let's go to St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning, Carolyn.
Yes, hi, Diane.
Hi.
I have a question for the doctor.
Sure.
I've had chronic daily headache and migraine for 25 years. I've tried lots of relaxation techniques, meditation, biofeedback, and what happens is I always fall asleep during those, and then I sleep too long, and that sometimes can make the headache worse. Can you speak to that?
In general, what we do with a person who's suffering from that type of situation, choose a technique that evokes the relaxation response that's a movement technique, yoga, Tai Chi. Do that on a regular basis is what we suggest, and it would be unlikely for you to fall asleep when you're doing yoga.
Are you saying that falling asleep negates the beneficial effects?
We've never really compared sleep with the relaxation response as to benefits.
I see.
But to evoke the benefits of the relaxation response, you want to evoke it. So try a technique that's a movement technique. And we teach a whole smorgasbord at our institute, one of which is certainly yoga.
To Louisville, Kentucky. Good morning, Joanne.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment on a couple different callers. The first, the man that called with cancer who was able to visualize and to think forward for help. I have Crohn's disease and was diagnosed in 1991 and went through a horrible 15 years of chemotherapy and steroids and many, many drugs, and ended with switching over, along with the Western medicine, to yoga and Chinese medicine and Indian medicine and meditation. And after having surgery in 2004, I have since, with my meditation and yoga and health, very, very healthy eating, had no side effects and no symptoms of Crohn's disease for the past 5 years. And every time I do have problems begin, if as long as I can take myself back and visualize my health and remember that I am a well person, I'm not a sick person anymore, I have learned that I can stay this way, which went against what all the doctors told me.
That is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Dr. Benson?
Exactly. And that's what we cover in the book. You see, many people like you have been fortunate enough to discover this by trial and error. And that was one of the reasons we wrote this book, to put this compendium forth as a whole, disease by disease, that people could turn to and perhaps prevent as well as treat disorders that are stress-related.
Joanne, I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. And thank you for the book that you've written. I have not read it yet, but I am looking forward to reading it. And I do think it's important, along with everything you're saying, to not always label yourselves as someone that has a disease, because then you become in that mindset of a sick person. And I had to pull myself out of that and not be known as someone with a disease, but someone who could be healthy. And it really did make a tremendous change in my life.
Congratulations, Joanne. Thanks for calling. And now to Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, good morning, Diane.
Hi.
This show is just absolutely amazing to me. I have been diagnosed with PTSD because of my mother's quick death from a terminal cancer when I was very young. I'm a very, very healthy person, but since my mom died when I was young, I just live my life thinking that any moment now, any little pain that I feel or any little something is going to be terminal, a terminal cancer or some kind of terminal problem. So my therapist has recommended EMDR, which is eye movement, some kind of therapy, and the premise is to rewire the brain to help you think healthy, happy thoughts. And this goes along so much with what Dr. Benson seems to be talking about today. I just wondered if he had ever heard of that therapy, and if not, if there's anything else he would consider that I should look into.
I have heard of the therapy. We have not studied it, and that's therefore I'm much more comfortable in proposing what we do in the book, namely the two phases, evoke the relaxation response, and then draw upon remembered wellness, where the fear was no longer, was not a part of you. Rewire yourself for that type of thinking, and you have the capability to do so.
Dr. Herbert Benson, his newest book is called Relaxation Revolution, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Good morning, Lloyd.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I would just like to add to the relaxation process. Quite a few years ago, I had migraine headaches, not realizing that's what they were. I actually had a good tooth pulled, thinking that was a problem, and after, you know, inspecting that tooth, there was nothing wrong with it. I went on to have my eyes examined, and everything was fine. Only thing that was left was to get into my brain, and I got a little concerned. I'm originally from the island of Jamaica. So what I did, I was working two jobs as a young man. I quit both jobs and went home to figure out what's wrong, you know, something is wrong. And from the moment that that plane landed in Jamaica, I never had a headache again.
You know, isn't that interesting?
Are you promoting tourism?
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, the islands are a little slower, more relaxed. And the fact that I'm away in there, I had nothing on my mind. I was just, you know, just empty-minded. And I noticed, I used to have these headaches every day. And I noticed since I got there from the very first day, I stayed for a month, I stayed for 2 months, I stayed 2.5 months. Never had a headache again. And ever since then, I came back to the States. I started walking slower and worrying less about things. I let things work themselves out.
Good for you, Lloyd. What a wonderful way to live. And finally, a message from Facebook. I took a class called Psychology of Religion. It talked about the benefits of prayer, worship, meditation, etc. What studies have you seen that prove the benefits of religion as it connects to physical health?
Belief is vital. In other words, if you believe in something, it is
something, whatever.
Exactly. It will break your train of everyday thinking and give you faith in your own capacities because you believe in them. And that's what we're calling remembered wellness, because you can open the door to remembered wellness by repeating a word, a prayer, a sound, a phrase that you believe in, which opens your mind, and then you can use that mind opening to remember what it was to be well. And to the extent that your disorder or worry is being caused by your thoughts, to that extent, you can change them.
Are you practicing what you preach every day?
I evoke the relaxation response regularly. Initially, I didn't the first 20 or so years because I wouldn't be a true scientist if I was studying this. But then I got older and I said, enough already. So now I've been doing it on a regular basis
and
daily.
And you look so well. I'm so glad to see you again. And congratulations on this latest book, Dr. Benson.
Thank you.
The book is titled Relaxation Revolution, Enhancing Your Personal Health Through the Science and Genetics of Mind-Body Healing. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR.